Tonight, with just 2 days to go until the Georgia Senate runoff, both sides trying to fire up their supporters. Dueling rallies across the state this weekend, and the new NBC News exclusive, the first woman to speak out publicly about domestic abuse allegations against Herschel Walker since his campaign began.
He had his hand on my throat and my chest.
In Iran, after months of protests over how women are treated, has the government disbanded the notorious morality police? The announcement giving some hope, while others don't believe it. Two roommates who were in the house when four Idaho college students were killed, speaking out now for the first time, what they're saying about the friends they lost. Maxed out, Americans struggling with a record amount of credit card debt, and that was before the holiday season. How to avoid a crippling financial holiday hangover. And Ukrainian children of war who made it all the way to Carnegie Hall. The Christmas carol written in their home country that you know and love, given new power today.
This is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. It has been one of the most high-profile Senate races this year. It's also been the longest. Georgia's election was so close back in November, it had to go to a runoff, which will finally take place on Tuesday. If you thought voters there would be fatigued, look at these lines. The state has seen a record number of early voters. It's unclear how the flurry of allegations against Republican candidate Herschel Walker may have impacted voters. He has been accused of paying for women's abortions, allegations he denies. And allegations of domestic abuse from previous relationships have plagued him as well. They've even been part of attack ads by the other side. But since Walker began his campaign, we have not heard directly from the women who have made accusations until now. Tonight, in an NBC News exclusive, we're hearing from a woman on camera who dated Herschel Walker for years and says he was abusive. Vaughn Hilliard reports from Atlanta.
In just 48 hours, the polls in the nation's final 2022 contest will close.
God don't need a politician. He need that warrior.
The Georgia Senate runoff heated on the campaign trail today to the very end.
Hello, University of Georgia!
But tonight, a woman who was in a five-year relationship with Republican Herschel Walker speaking out to NBC News.
I believe the deception now is on the American people, and I have to say what I know. I have to tell the Herschel I know.
Cheryl Parsa first told her story to the Daily Beast last week, alleging the former football star physically attacked her in 2005.
He told me, "You want to see a man? I'll show you a man." And he was pressing his forehead against mine. My head was against the wall. He was speaking with such force that his saliva was all over my face. And he had his hand on my throat and my chest. And then he leaned back to throw a punch. And luckily, I was able to avoid that. And the punch landed on the wall instead of me.
NBC News spoke with three individuals whom she told of this incident in the past before he was running for the Senate. Her story, not the first allegation of domestic abuse against a former football star. His ex-wife, Cindy Grossman, spoke out in 2008.
He got a gun and he put it to my temple.
Put the gun right to your temple.
Hmm?
What did he say?
I'm going to blow your effing brains out.
And just 2 months ago, Walker's son tweeting that his father had previously, quote, threatened to kill us. Walker has previously acknowledged suffering from mental illness during the period of these allegations. He even wrote a book about it, saying he had dissociative identity disorder, a condition in which an individual has various and distinct personalities.
A Texas woman is alleging that you physically attacked her and repeatedly threatened her.
Sir, please stop doing
this. Would you like to respond to those allegations?
Walker and his campaign have not responded to Parsa's allegations.
I never thought that I would be in this situation today. Who would have ever thought he would be running for Senate? And I would feel this compelled to come forward. But it was the women. It was for me. Because I'd lived in silence for so long, carrying the shame of what I allowed.
And Vaughn's with me now. Vaughn, what impact have these allegations had on Walker's campaign, on voters?
Kate, in last month's general election, Walker received 38,000 fewer votes than Warnock, which is why he has focused so heavily in his closing pitch on making the case to this historically conservative state that they need a Republican vote in the U.S. Senate. Kate?
All right. Thank you, Vaughn. In Iran tonight, there's confusion, some optimism, and a lot of skepticism about possible major changes to women's rights there. After months of deadly protests over strict dress codes, there's word the government may be giving in to calls for more freedom. Raf Sanchez reports.
Tonight, after months of widespread protests, possible cracks in Iran's strict Islamic system. The attorney general saying at a press conference the feared morality police, who for decades have enforced a severe dress code on the women of Iran, has now been disbanded, and that the parliament is reviewing a law requiring women to wear hijabs or head coverings. His claim has not been officially confirmed by Iran's government, and activists are skeptical, saying the morality police had already been forced off the streets by demonstrators.
The Iranian people managed to shake the regime, and that's why they come up with the idea saying that, okay, we can think about getting rid of morality police.
Women in Tehran tell NBC News that since the protests, they felt new freedom, able to go with their hair uncovered, largely without interference. The U.S. sanctioned the police last month, and tonight the White House warning the eyes of the world are on Iran. The human rights abuses inflicted by its government must not go without consequence. The morality force has been the target of public anger since the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, who died in their custody. Her death, the spark for 2 months of protests. Iran's government says 200 people have been killed in the demonstrations. Human rights groups say the real figure is more than twice that.
And Raf Sanchez joins me now from London. Raf, how are protesters in Iran reacting to this news?
Kate, they're saying this isn't enough. Posts on social media are calling for 3 days of strikes this week, and many protesters say they won't settle for anything less than the end of the regime. Kate?
Raf Sanchez for us. Thank you. Waukesha, Wisconsin, the town just finished marching in its annual Christmas parade. Of course, it was 1 year ago that a man drove a car into that crowd, killing six. Tonight, residents returned celebrating the lives lost and the town's determination to keep the tradition going. Maura Barrett is there.
Tonight, Waukesha's Christmas parade is back, bigger and stronger than ever. The community turning up in force 1 year after tragedy struck, when a man drove an SUV through the parade, killing six people and injuring dozens more. Today, 80 floats line the streets, led by six snowflake cutouts in honor of the lives lost. The dancing grannies, who lost some of their own, are back too.
What does it mean to you that you're back here dancing again after being injured?
It means that I have lots of angels surrounding me.
First responders serving as the grand marshals as new additions honor the heroes and the victims. Their families forever bonded together.
We all support each other and we all have a connection.
Sherry and Aaron Sparks lost their 8-year-old son, Jackson, who was marching in the parade with his brother and baseball team.
I've always loved Christmas, but then there's that weight and that, you know, that you're fighting through.
Do you think that the parade coming back will help with that?
I think for a lot of people, it's going to be healing.
They're not comfortable going back this year, but credit the community support for those who do want to attend. To ensure safety, the city quadrupled police officer presence and altered the parade route from past years, along with an $800,000 investment in new vehicle barriers.
The most important one is the community feels safe. Mm-hmm. And that's something we can't put a price tag on.
But tonight, the town's resilience on full display.
Remember what a Christmas parade is. It's bringing everyone together in the joy of Christmas. You know, you kind of think about how terrible it is that, you know, there's been a stain on that, and there shouldn't be.
That joy palpable amid today's record turnout. This year's theme, Peace on Earth, is felt at every turn. Kate?
All right, Maura, thank you. Coming up, the Idaho murder mystery. The roommates of the four students killed now speaking out.
Hey guys, Willie Geist here, reminding you to check out the Sunday Sit Down podcast. On this week's episode, I get together with 16-time Grammy winner Alicia Keys to talk about a career full of beautiful music and the new Broadway musical inspired by her own life. You can get our conversation now for free wherever you download your podcasts.
He would lie his way into their dreams.
He was looking for James Bond girls.
How fun would that be to be a Bond girl?
then twist them into a nightmare.
This guy has done this before. He'll do it again.
Until a group of women banded together to put him behind bars and keep him there.
You have to participate fiercely, fiercely in what happens next.
I'm Keith Morrison, and this is Murder in the Hollywood Hills, an all-new podcast from Dateline.
All episodes of Murder in the Hollywood Hills are available now. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com.
We're back with new details in that Idaho murder mystery where four college roommates were killed last month. For the first time, we're hearing from the two roommates who were also in the house that night. Steve Patterson reports.
3 weeks later, more questions, few answers, no suspects, as friends remember four lives lost.
How truly special I felt to be your friend.
For the first time, we hear from the two surviving roommates inside at the time of the stabbings in their own words.
I'm going to be reading two different letters, one from Dylan and one from Bethany.
Their letters read by a pastor at a service held this weekend from Dylan Mortensen.
My life was greatly impacted to have known these four beautiful people.
And Bethany Funk.
Maddie, Kaylee, Zanna, and Ethan were truly all one of a kind. They all lit up any room they walked into and were gifts to this world.
Officials say their surviving roommates have been ruled out as potential suspects. Their four friends stabbed to death in the early morning hours of November 13th, likely while asleep in their beds. With no suspects or murder weapon, the Moscow Police Department still following leads in the investigation, digging through more than 100 pieces of evidence on top of thousands of calls, tips, and emails, maintaining the fatal stabbings were targeted. The department also focused on dispelling misinformation, saying there is speculation without factual backing, stoking community fears and spreading false information. But in this tight-knit town, frustration is boiling over. The father of one of the four victims, Kaylee Gonzalez, is speaking out about the investigation to Fox News.
The lead detective looked me in his eyes. I have no doubt he's working as hard as he can. But somebody isn't communicating. There's nothing being released.
In our interview, he says with a lack of evidence, he's terrified the trail could go cold.
I don't know how you catch a criminal if you don't even know what you're looking for.
Families now fearful they may never find justice. Steve Patterson, NBC News.
Still ahead tonight, what you can do about controlling credit card debt this season. Plus, the Ukrainian chorus stopping traffic in Grand Central Station the other day. And the story behind their beloved Christmas carol. A state of emergency is in effect after the power went out suddenly in North Carolina last night. It happened in Moore County. That's about 90 miles east of Charlotte. Duke Energy estimates 45,000 got hit by the blackout. Authorities now say there's evidence someone shot and damaged two substations. They're calling it a targeted incident, and an investigation is underway. Thousands are being evacuated in Indonesia tonight following a massive volcano eruption. It happened in East Java. You can see the thick clouds of ash and smoke rising from the crater and people rushing to get out of the area. Just last year, 40 people were killed when that same volcano erupted. Now to the credit crush hitting so many families. Credit card debt is at an all-time high, and a perfect storm of holiday shopping, massive inflation, and soaring interest rates are set to make it worse. But there are ways to get out of that hole. Brian Chung reports.
With 3 weeks to go, the holiday rush is well underway. With everything nearly 8% more expensive than last year, shoppers like Sherry Sorrells are paying with plastic to buy gifts this holiday season.
Yeah, I got some things off of Amazon, the foot massager. I got a karaoke machine for one of my daughters, and I got my son a bike.
But with thousands of dollars in debt, the mother of three now faces a serious challenge.
I think it's kind of an out of sight, out of mind kind of thing.
She's not the only one. Jamie Feldman was once $20,000 in debt.
Every time you do a minimum payment, the next month is like, it's like you didn't pay anything with the interest and the fees.
Hi, I'm Jamie. I'm in 15,000.
Feldman posted her stories on TikTok, engaging others in similar positions.
Obviously, yes, there was some mismanagement of money.
Americans are headed into the peak holiday shopping season with record debt as they buy things like gifts or even Christmas trees. But they also face record high interest rates if they miss a payment.
Credit card debt has soared 19% in the last year to a record $866 billion, and the average interest rate now nearing 20%. At that rate, making minimum payments on a $1,000 bill would take over 9 years to pay off, racking up about $990 in interest.
I've gotten a lot of emails from the card issuers just stating that the terms have changed, and 9 times out of 10, it's the interest rate that's increasing.
But that hasn't like stopped you from spending the way that you're spending?
No, only because I feel like pressured to, you know, have a good Christmas for my children.
Experts recommend prioritizing 0% balance transfer cards and consolidating your debt.
So if this describes you, no shame. I mean, you have plenty of company, but let's focus on bringing that interest rate down.
There's other strategies too. This Hanukkah, Jamie says she's just focused on spending quality time with her loved ones.
I've been really open and honest about what I can and cannot do. And I think for us this year, it's going to be more about experiences than actual gifts.
Because the most memorable gifts don't have to cost anything. Brian Chung, NBC News, New York.
Some good advice when we come back. United in Song, the remarkable journey of Ukraine's children's choir, their spot on the world stage, and why this holiday classic means so much to them. There is good news tonight about holiday traditions bringing people together across continents and even through war zones.
This classic song of the season. Today, a song of survival. Ukraine's Shedrick Children's Choir performing Carol of the Bells today at New York's Carnegie Hall. The holiday favorite, written by a Ukrainian composer, premiered here a century ago.
It creates a kind of a bond that is hard to describe.
You know, Leah Batstone spent more than 2 years helping arrange the group's visit.
What is it to have that song sung at Carnegie Hall?
It's incredible to think of the original version being sung with Ukrainian lyrics once again on the stage of Carnegie Hall. So it's my favorite Christmas carol, and it comes from Ukraine.
Carol of the Bells, its message of good tidings, now ever more meaningful for this chorus. Members reuniting this summer after many fled to safer places during the war. Over the last few weeks, they rehearsed in Kyiv, at times practicing in a bomb shelter without electricity.
You haven't had a typical 15-year-old year, right? Life's been different.
We just woke up and we didn't know anything about our future. We didn't know about, like, tomorrow or even 5 minutes later of the time we were living in.
This trip to America, a chance to simply be kids again.
This is your first time in New York City.
Yes. Yeah.
What's it like?
It's great. We enjoy it very much.
Yeah. It's like fairy tale.
Their impromptu performance last week. Nearly bringing Grand Central Terminal to a standstill. And after a week of rehearsals here, these children who've been through so much today, proving joy and hope can prevail.
I had the privilege of being in the audience this afternoon, there were tears in my eyes. That is NBC Nightly News on this Sunday. Lester Holt will be back with you tomorrow. And just ahead, Sunday Night Football, Colts versus the Cowboys. I'm Kate Snow. For all of us here at NBC News, stay safe and have a great night.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Bush Hager from Today with Hoda and Jenna and the Read with Jenna Book Club. There's nothing I love more than sharing my favorite reads with all of you, except maybe talking to the exceptional authors behind these stories. And that's what I'll be doing on my podcast, Read with Jenna. I'll be introducing you to some of my favorite writers. These conversations will leave you feeling inspired and entertained.
To start listening, just search Read with Jenna wherever you get your podcasts.